This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run studios. Let's get some hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Well, the burrito doping scandal continues.
Okay, so it's not over yet.
Yeah, I was about to say. So apparently the reports are that band runner Shelby Houlihan is in the lineup and will be allowed to run at the U.S. Olympic track and fields trials while
appeals?
Any appeals she files are pending.
So do they say whether or not they expect they're still doing trials?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah, the trials are like just firing up, actually.
Okay, I was going to say the Olympics are in 2 months, right?
Yeah, yeah, but the track's just firing up because, you know, NCAA's just ended for track this past weekend. And so a few of those people are going to be in the trials. But yeah, they're just firing up for track.
Do they say whether or not they will have this settled by the time the Olympics come around, and if she'll be allowed to actually run the Olympics under appeal, or how is this going to work?
That seems like
a pretty big privilege to be able to run if you're right. Under suspension. But I understand, like, the appeal process, you're innocent until proven guilty, but still seems.
Says U.S. Track and Field said there were no plans to still take her off. They said given there is an active appeal process, USATF will allow any athletes to continue competing until the process is completed. So it doesn't really say a prediction for when they're going to be able to finish these processes.
That kind
I was
of
about
stuff.
To say, yeah, could be just.
Yeah, it is the whole innocent until proven guilty thing. So
yeah, sure.
But like, what happens if she does participate and then it comes back that she was in fact?
Then
like
they would probably just give it to the next highest finisher. Like if she qualified, it'd probably be the next person in line would get it instead of her. You know. She like it may not even be an issue. She may not even qualify, but obviously she is a record holder, so odds are she will. But
good.
I mean, it's actually a good thing for the other runners out there. Like if she loses this appeal but was out there running, she's a good person to like pace yourself off of. Like sometimes that's a big thing in track is running against good competition helps you elevate your stuff. Like
yeah, sure.
So I think it could be good. Like I'd be fine if she was out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean especially if there's also in the back of your mind like hey, she might be disqualified.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll
so
win.
If you just keep up with her, stay around her, even if she qualifies, then you're just like, hey, maybe I still have a shot. And like I said, it just helps the competition, and that's usually when you get the people's fastest times is when they're also running against you know the fastest people in the world. It just kind of helps.
Okay.
So. Interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering about that when we talked about it yesterday, just because you know the appeal process in baseball and football, like when you're appealing suspensions, you usually are still allowed to play. So I was wondering if, you know, because it would be kind of messed up if she won her appeal, but like, sorry, Olympics have already passed.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I understand the merits of her appeal because she admits to eating it and taking it. Like,
yeah.
Wasn't the story the other day that they were like, yeah, sorry, still doesn't count, like, or still counts, like, you messed up.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Like, what is the defense here? I mean, just the fact that she
just
didn't know,
it's like,
I guess,
it's not that
all.
I was taking the steroids, but the fact that pig can cause, like, the false positive is kind of the way they tried to term it.
But are you not getting the benefits of the steroids still from that, or no?
I don't think to the same extent as if you just, like, I think, yeah, it could be, like, in your blood, but it's not going to be at the same, like, levels as, like, if you actually just took a steroid shot, I
gotcha.
Would feel like. It's like with anything, you know, if you eat stuff, you get the nutrients from that. It's just kind of in your bloodstream for a while. I feel like it's also one of those things that kind of processes itself out. So, I don't know. Like, I guess her argument may be that, like, hey, it was that just that thing. Now, at this point in time, like, I'm clear. Like, it's good. Like,
okay.
I feel like that would be kind
of
the
benefits
thing.
Aren't still here. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Next headline, please.
All righty. I wanted to go back a little bit. I mentioned this earlier. Vince Wilfork's son. Just wanted to kind of wrap up that story a little bit. Stealing $300,000 of his of Vince Wilfork's jewelry, his son did, including New England Patriot Bowl Super Bowl championship rings, according to a police report. Like, what do you make of this, man? What do you do in this situation? I always wondered, you know, when you have a kid that does this. Like, I wonder how you always go about it, because you know some people go still support them, still try to you know.
Can't throw them away.
Yeah, still try to do their best to fix the situation as much as they can.
Depends how many strikes you get. Depends what the problem is. Is this an estranged son that he just has nothing to do with? Is this a son battling some type of addiction that's selling the ring off to fund that type of addiction? Was he just stealing it because he wants some money? Like, it seems tough to be a parent when that stuff happens. And, you know, I don't think any of us in this room are parents, so.
Hope not.
but also, you know, every parent that is out there would handle it different, too. Mm-hmm. There's a fine line between compassion and enabling. So, you know,
yep.
Sad story regardless.
How do you think you would handle it? You cutting off ties with the son at that point?
It depends. Like I said, if he's got an addiction, you try to get him help.
You put them in the NFL and say, you have to bring me back a Super Bowl.
Vince Wilfork might not care that much about a Super Bowl ring, honestly.
The principle of it, though.
It could be a principle, but it could just be like, hey, I'm just more worried about my son. Like, yeah. I want to get my son straight, too. Sure. But it could be one of those things where it's just like, this is the fifth straw, and you're like, we got to get this guy out of our lives and cut out. Like, it's, again, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. It does say that he sold it from the son for $62,000 in 2020. So I guess this was something he did not have initially reported, is kind of what they're saying.
I wonder if he even noticed it at first.
Yeah. No, he said actually, I think the report was like he thought he like lost it in storage. It was just somewhere else, you know, kind of missing, whatever. And then
so it's one of those things.
Finally kind of realized.
To me, it sounds like him and his son are probably close, and the son pulled one over on him and didn't think his dad would notice, and then the dad didn't notice for a while, but now the dad notices, and now it's a big national story.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough. Hey, shout out to a VFL. Did you guys see Dominic Lloyd Anderson?
Tobias Harris. Good job, Tobias Harris.
Yeah,
last night.
Great job.
Coming up with a big 4 points. I'm watching highlights of the comeback last night.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. A couple times.
Good job by you, Tobias. Getting blocked at the rim by John Collins.
Oh, that was hilarious.
What a guy.
Pretty impressive. Did you guys see Dominic Woods Anderson getting signed with the Seahawks?
Yeah, I assume it's just a training camp deal, right? I mean, just going to be.
I would imagine.
Didn't they do that with him after the draft as well last year? Didn't he get a chance in Seattle right after the draft last year?
Maybe he's a familiar face to bring him back and they
seeing
know
how he improved.
Got,
and
yeah.
I want to say that's accurate, but
I don't really want to type it into Google.
We'll see if he makes the roster before.
I mean, even for him, I feel like practice squad would be an accomplishment at this point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean,
just hang around, you know.
Yep.
So. Eventually get a chance.
Yep.
Good for him. I mean,
do we consider him I don't even really feel like.
A what?
VFL.
Oh, sure. He graduated from here. Good enough. He's as much of a Vol as us.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, we graduated from there. I mean, more of a Vol.
We had just as many big plays.
You know, here's what I'll say about Dominic Wood Anderson. Actually, we didn't. That first touchdown against West Virginia was pretty cool.
That really helped us win that game.
I thought he was going to be a stud at that point.
Watch it with intention for another 10 minutes or so. But I will say, if Garantano didn't miss him in the swamp, we might remember his career a little differently if he had reeled off an 80-yard touchdown in the swamp.
Yep.
God, just streaking.
He was wide open here.
It's a busted play. There's no way guarding him. If he had caught that touchdown, like, no, I'm not kidding. Like,
no, you're
maybe
right.
Maybe his
NFL
career goes different. Maybe he gets drafted. Maybe, like, maybe Tennessee fans actually like it when we talk about him. Garantano robbed him of his moment.
Tough. Tough stuff.
Any other headlines?
Yes. Wanted to get to, Brian Snitker, the baseball manager for the Braves, just absolutely thrashing Ronald Acuna, throwing him under the bus. Like,
then backed him up. Backed the bus over him.
Yeah. Not a good look. Uh-oh. What do we think about this situation? Some down times for the Atlanta sports a little bit. Yeah.
Well, I think the pressure's on Atlanta right now for Snitker. I think the pressure's on.
Is this it for him, you think?
It's tough because they went to the division or the CSNLCS Championship Series last year.
Yeah.
It was a 60-game season. You blew a 3-1 lead. They are banged up this year, I feel like.
Pitching staff-wise, for sure.
Yeah. So, like, I know Braves fans don't like this guy, and it does seem like the team has kind of won in spite of him the last couple of years. It's one of those things like where the team is winning a bunch of games, and they're never really picked to win the division, yet they keep winning the division, except now this year they're not. Like, now this year it's not going very well, and, you know, they're struggling. They're taking on water. They're 500. They're 7.5 games back of the Mets, 2.5 back of the Phillies, of a wild card spot. They're 6.5 games back, so like, it's not like that's got a better chance of making the playoffs there, really.
I appreciate their sacrifice for the Atlanta Hawks. I appreciate them doing that.
I do appreciate that. The Braves had to die, and Julio had to fly to Nashville for my Hawks to soar, but I appreciate the sacrifices.
It's just the Braves at this point. We're just sacrificing the Braves.
And Julio to the Titans.
Just the Braves, but I do appreciate them. And
Julio had to fly
away. You can't have success in Atlanta in more than one place at a time. So. Yep.
Shout out to both the Falcons and Braves for volunteering.
That's why the Braves ended up losing last night, because the Hawks were coming back. It's just what happens.
I think the Braves are losing because they suck. That's what I think they're losing. But Snitker, like, if I'm Snitker, man, like, I get you want to coach Acuña, but you don't have to do it in the media. Yeah. Like, Acuña is going to give you good and bad, like, base running. Like, he's going to be aggressive. And it was dumb. He got thrown out at, what, third? Down two in the ninth? Yeah. Like, you can't do that whenever you have Freddie with a chance to come tie the game. Now, don't get me wrong. Freddie would have struck him out. You know, probably struck out. It seems like they're at a real crossroads, though, because it does seem like Snitker always comes out and criticizes Acuña. And it also feels like Freeman could be headed to the Angels sometime soon. I know people are worried about that. Freeman's struggling this year, batting 242, coming off his MVP season as they're trying to figure out contract negotiations. It hasn't been a very good season. Hasn't been a very good season for the Braves. I would imagine he gets fired.
You think so? That's your bet
yeah.
by the end of the year?
Yeah. I would say, I imagine he might make it to the end of the year, but then they'll move on at the end of the year.
Yeah. For the second straight year, John.
I've watched this highlight video three times now.
Have you really?
I've been watching them a lot, too.
What an adjustment.
Just the fourth quarter or a little bit of third?
Yeah, it's just the comeback. A nice adjustment by McMillan. Look, you got Gallo switched on Seth Curry with the game on the line. Buckets. Yeah, Seth Curry. Yeah, you could guard Gallo.
Congrats on your 30 points, though, bro. He had some big shots in
he
that
did.
Game.
Hey, didn't hit cool. enough of them. We can all agree on that, right?
I was talking about Gallo, but okay.
Oh, Gallo did hit big shots that game.
He did. Yeah, that one three he had. I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Great signing.
Those turnarounds.
Deepest,
well,
deepest,
he's had like a really bad playoffs, hasn't
deepest
he?
Deepest team in the league. No.
He's been better.
He's been. I will say he's been very up and down. Like, some games he's played really good, some games he's played really bad. So yeah. I will
he's been
say
better
that.
This series, I'd say.
Yeah. But yeah, he had one big game in New York, too, I think. I want to say maybe even game five. But yes, he has been up and down. You got one more headline, or are you good?
Yeah, I got one more for you. Who cares about Super Bowls, John, when you can win the, or at least be a finalist, the ESPN Sports Humanitarian Team of the Year Award, as the Broncos have been nominated for the second straight year.
I was going to say for the Cowboys whenever you said who cares about the Super Bowl.
Funny. Well, we have Super Bowl hopes. The Broncos really don't, but at least they're getting that Humanitarian Team of the Year
Award. You got
beef
with the Broncos or something?
No. Ooh, I'm congratulating on getting this award, Humanitarian Team of the Year Award. It's pretty impressive.
Cam, it was
what
not,
it's all it's about.
It was not game five for Gallo. He went 0-for-7 that game against the Knicks. Yeah. Oh, it was game 4-3.
Okay,
he was good.
I did remember he had some good ones.
Well, shout out to the Broncos for the Humanitarian Award. That's what it's all about.
That's what I'm saying.
Being humane,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Good batch of headlines. Anything else to add about it or no?
Nah, that's cool.
Okay, let's go to break then. Let's talk some Tennessee baseball. How are we feeling, boys? Hey-o. It's Thursday.
Get close, huh?
Getting hype.
It's Thursday. We nervous? We got good energy?
I was going to say, a little nervous, man.
Team touchdown in Omaha. Said they're ready to go.
Some cool videos.
Practice. I didn't see anything from the practice. We would say they were promoting the first practice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. No. I'm ready for it.
What is in Omaha besides
wind?
Baseball.
Wind, I think.
Okay.
Is that where, like, the University of Nebraska is? Is it in
Omaha?
No,
they're in Lincoln.
No, yeah, they're
Lincoln?
In Lincoln, yeah. Okay. I don't know if there is a college in Omaha. I mean, I'm sure there is somewhere, but I don't know what
it
would be.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a Nebraska at Omaha.
I mean, Creighton, is Creighton an actual city? Like, where is Creighton at? It's not in Omaha, I don't think, but I don't.
Really?
That's also in Nebraska, right? Creighton, I don't.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, but I don't know what the city it's in.
Omaha.
I mean, there's a casino like across the river, like in
Iowa.
Oh,
wow. Creighton is in Omaha.
Oh, Creighton is in Omaha?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, good pull.
I don't think I can call that a pull because I said it. I don't think it is. I at least knew it was in Nebraska, but like I didn't know it was in Omaha.
Oh, it's
like
a
on a math test, you get most of it right. You got partial credit.
There you go.
It was a stop on the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail.
It was like a math question where you got the right answer, but the process to get there, like when the teacher makes you show your work and you got the right answer because you cheated and you couldn't really prove how you got there, so you get partial credit. But that's good enough. It's better than no credit. So thank you.
People talk about them having a good zoo.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't hear that.
Yep.
I did hear that.
Yep. Omaha Zoo's good.
An indoor jungle.
We don't need tourist attractions. We need wins. We need baseball wins. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah,
baseball wins.
I just didn't know if they actually like were known for anything out there. Because I only ever hear about them winning, it's the College Baseball World Series.
Do we have any hatred for Virginia? Can we muster up any hatred against Virginia?
They have a weird color of orange.
That Charlottesville thing where the campuses didn't go very, like, that was kind of weird, right? Yep, the tiki torches and racism, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
That wasn't good.
That feels bad. I feel like we should hold that against them.
The Cavaliers? The Cavs? Not really the biggest fan of that.
I think that name's actually kind of cool. I mean, assuming that the Cavaliers like actually the logo of like the, you know, guy going to fight, like on a, being a part of a Cavalier. I think that's actually kind of cool. Yeah, I was going to say, I think that one's kind of cool.
It's cooler than the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll give it to Virginia because they do it better.
Yeah, I would imagine Virginia's, I don't know, I just imagine them being kind of close to the Revolutionary War and fighting some battles there. Like maybe they actually had earned some stripes in like Cleveland. Like, what the hell is Cleveland going to battle in? I don't know.
John, we had a couple
fighting
of
for a river there. Were they fighting for the river there? Maybe was there a war in Cleveland for like that?
Was there
access to that water there? For the, was it the lake? I guess like Michigan or wherever the hell's over there. Like I don't know.
Nah,
I'm not a geography
guy. About to say.
I know there's a river right there in Cleveland.
Easy though.
Well, I know there's one right there in Cleveland, but I don't know which one it is. What were you going to ask?
I was going to say, we had some All-American honors for some of our boys.
Oh, yeah.
In Orange.
Shout them out.
We had two players.
Okay, shout them out.
All-Americans. This was by Baseball America. First, we had Sean Hundley, who came in second team honors as a relief pitcher, and Jake Rucker was a third team selection at third base.
All right. Hundley's been a stud, too. Like
he has.
I did a hit with my boy Buck and Lucas in Nashville this morning. We kind of talked about that. Like, I feel like Tennessee – you know, we don't have the top-end starters to compete with Vanderbilt, right? Like, Vanderbilt has a better ace. Even Virginia has a better ace that we're going to face on Sunday. But I do feel like Tennessee's pitching staff has all of a sudden become pretty damn deep and reliable, I feel like, between Hundley, who is, you said what, second-team All-American?
Yep.
You have his stats in that article, like how what is ERA and how many runs he gave up and all that? Because he's been a stud.
He posted a 2.92 ERA.
In 33 appearances, pitched 71 innings, gave up 23 earned runs, held opponents to just a 2.14 batting average while striking out 75 and only walking 11. So he was pretty damn good, especially in the SEC where the hitters are pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, all of a sudden, you know, turning himself into a reliable stud pitcher. You have Camden Sewell, I mean, who, you know, is kind of your fourth starter, your midday starter type of thing. But he has – really been on fire. You think back to that Florida game in the SEC tournament on, you know, in the semifinals when he just mows through them and holds, you know, shuts them down. In the second half of SEC play and postseason play, Camden Sewell has given up one earned run in 21 and a third innings. That's good for a .42 ERA. Wow. That comes Ryan Shumpert, who helps cover the baseball team for VolQuest, and I believe was over there at the college, maybe the Beacon or the Station. I don't know, somewhere over there.
Beacon boy.
But between him and Hundley and Heflin's been solid, Tennessee has a pretty deep bullpen to go to. Guys that can give you some starter innings between Heflin and Sewell. And then, you know, Cheese Dallas has won a bunch of games. And, you know, he pitched really well on last Saturday against LSU. I mean, like, you know, he'd been getting a lot of run support. That wasn't the case on Saturday, but he was still able to, you know, limit LSU, get a win, strike out 12. You feel good about him right now. Tidwell pitched pretty well on Sunday against LSU. Mm-hmm. You feel good about him and how they pitched in the SEC tournament as well. So Tennessee doesn't have the top-end talent at pitcher. They don't have the big-time ace that you can rely to. They don't have a Kumar Rocker or a Leiter. You don't have that. But you also have a pretty deep staff. And if you do have a long week in Omaha, if you don't just go 2-0 and get a 3 or 4 day rest – if you do have to win a couple games in the loser's bracket, it does seem like Tennessee might have enough arms in this rotation and in this bullpen to kind of stimmy the tide. And that's something that gets excited, you know, that excites me because about a month and a half ago, I didn't feel like I believed in Tennessee's pitching enough. I thought they were going to have to go out there and just hit a bunch of dingers. But now I kind of believe that they can get enough innings pitched and hold teams low enough that, you know, the bats can not have to be awesome, I guess, not have to be spectacular. You might have to score 7 or 8 runs. Like, remember against Wright State, we talked about having to score 10 runs, and it ended up having to. Like, Dallas did get rocked that game. Wright State could rake. But, like, I do feel like in some of these games you might be able to get out with just 4 or 5 runs and win, kind of like you did on Saturday against LSU, 4-2.
Is the depth of the pitching staff something you feel like is like one of those advantages we have over Vanderbilt?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Vanderbilt has a top two for sure. But like, I feel like Vanderbilt was pretty susceptible to the Sunday game all year. Like Vanderbilt's Sunday pitcher, they kind of struggled finding a third guy.
Yeah.
So I do feel like if you're looking at just a championship series, Cam, I don't know how much that's going to matter because it's a three-game series.
I was kind of more online of like they may not make it as far as we do just off the fact of that
yeah,
aspect.
Sure. Like if Rocker gets beaten game one, then they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
If Tennessee gets beaten game one, like obviously that's not ideal, but like you don't feel like there's a huge drop-off between your second and third starters. You just go out there and the team's just going to have to keep battling, keep breaking. Vanderbilt, if one of those guys get beat, and then all of a sudden you start looking, trying to calculate short rest while also, you know, somewhat keeping in mind that it ain't going to be exactly like the Arkansas cop situation because Rocker and Leiter are both top five draft picks. Like, hey, coach, I don't know if I can go out there and give you, five innings on 2 days rest.
Yeah.
I think I got to protect these millions of dollars. Like,
yeah.
Rocker's already dealt with a little velocity issues this year anyways. It's kind of been back and forth. When he hits 96, he's the best pitcher in baseball. But a couple of starts, he's only been able to get up to 92, and he's a little bit more hittable. And he's also less of a big-time prospect. So if I'm Rocker, I'm like, hey, coach, yeah, no, I can't go tonight. Unlike, Arkansas is just throwing that cops guy out there every damn day, making him go out there and suffer.
Yeah.
So Vanderbilt's pitching depth could be an issue for them, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's why, you saw them, get knocked out of the SEC tournament.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's tougher. But again, if you're Vanderbilt and you get to a championship series, you feel really, really, really good about your chances throwing those two guys that you can win the first two games.
For sure.
You worry about our long ball with the whole Omaha Stadium, all that, everybody hyping up a little
bit.
We
hit bombs anyways.
We hit way too far.
I mean, it seems as if a lot of ours are no doubters. Like I don't recall very many of them going right over the fence. I mean, will there be a couple that maybe get warning track powered? Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think you'd say the same for anybody. Now, maybe not every team's as reliant on the long ball as we are, but, we grinded out this weekend against LSU.
Yeah.
Manufactured a couple runs, just put some balls in play, make the defense made mistakes. That made me feel a little bit better, but, Drew Gilbert's grand slam had been gone in any park.
Yeah.
That ball's still going up as it went out.
Yeah. MLB Stadium homer.
Right. Like, I mean, that's going out in any park. If Tennessee goes out there and just can't hit home runs, I'm sure some people feel that way, but I'm not worried about it now. Are you?
No, I just, kind of the reports coming in or whatever, people a little concerned about that or maybe have a issue because we do, say what you want to say. Like, yeah, we can maybe grind it out, but we do rely on the home runs quite a bit.
Yeah, no, we do. We do for sure. But, again, I think we're a team that can hit them.
We're also covered because we do the little things. Like, we are a pretty good situational hitting team, too. Like, runners on the base, we know to get hard contact on the right-hand side to at least advance them for the next guy to have a shot.
Either that or we're going to bunt. Vitello really likes bunting, which I don't know how I feel about. I don't love bunting, and it doesn't seem like there's too many guys on this team that can actually get down the bunt. I thought that almost was going to cost you this weekend when you had Durkay out there trying to bunt early in the game and he couldn't get it down. Like, I worry about that. I just don't like giving up outs. But, this team believes in itself. This team, situational hitting – just goes along with being able to do your job and be clutch as well, and this team has proven they can do that. So, no, I'm pumped. I have no, concerns outside of just, we make a couple of fielding mistakes. Like, you talked about Rucker being, third-team All-American?
Yep.
It makes me a little bit nervous over on third base fielding the ball. Even against LSU on Saturday, took a little bit too long to throw that ball to first and let Bianco, leg out a infield single. That, put runners on first and second with a chance to tie the game. That made me a little nervous, and he hasn't been very shorthanded. I think he had a bad Vanderbilt series, too, where he kind of fumbled the ball a couple times, especially in that Sunday game. So that's my concern right now is does the defense play well enough? Because, let's face it, getting to Omaha is kind of the goal.
Yeah.
Simply because now when you get to this 8-team tournament, there's a lot of variance, right? There's going to be some the ball is going to bounce the wrong way a couple times, and you might be in trouble. It's hard to win in baseball. The best team don't always win, but, this team accomplished its goal of getting to Omaha, and there's no real glaring weakness. Like I said, the pitching's up to par. It's better than that. Hitting's up there. Fielding's good enough, but it's probably the one that makes me the most nervous out of anything. Cam, you got this or that topics ready?
I do.
Draven, are you going to play Ryan or no? Are you out? Because I don't feel like arguing today. I've talked a lot today. You feel like playing or no?
Yeah, I'll play. Whatever.
Okay. What are the topics, Cam?
All right. We got better shot at the Super Bowl this year. Titans. Kansas City.
Or the Titans.
Or Tampa Bay.
Okay. Titans. I'll go with Tampa Bay because Titans aren't in the NFC.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I got eat only food that's spicy, pretty spicy, or eat food with no flavor. And the last one, I'm actually leaving this one a little bit up to you guys. I'm doing it a little different. You're on a deserted island. You got to argue for three things you're bringing and why they're better than the other person's.
Make that the first one.
That'll be the first one then.
Yeah, okay, you don't have to worry. I want to hear that one.
Yeah, you're trapped on the deserted island. You gotta survive for a few months. What are you bringing?
What happens if they take the same three things? We're just going to argue like who
I
argues
don't
the point better?
We'll
figure it out.
We'll get there when we get there.
Okay. All right. We'll play some this or that coming up next. All right, let's play some this or that. Intern Ryan versus Draven. Let's go. Let's get it on.
Do it. All right, first thing. You are stuck on a deserted island. You got to survive a month until you get rescued. What three things are you bringing?
I'll go first here. So you said it's about a month.
Yep.
Okay. So the first thing I want to bring is speakers. I want to listen to some music out there.
Okay.
I think this is more about surviving boredom at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can survive for a little bit off of a month.
Yeah.
A little bit of water, a little bit of food. You can get by. I think I'd be more worried about boredom myself. So the number one thing I'm bringing is speakers to play some music. Something funny, John? Okay.
I'm listening to you.
Okay. You know, you could also listen to podcasts you have record like saved on your. I guess you may not have a phone.
That's what I was.
Like our podcast.
Well, speakers/phone. Is it? Can I do that? Is that a
sounds
thing?
Like two separate objects? Are you locking in phone as your second item?
Yeah, you know what I am.
Okay. Speakerphone. What's your third? We'll just get the three out the way now.
Okay. So we're gonna do speakers. For entertainment purposes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, imagine the blast you have out there, you know, listening to music, mm-hmm. dancing around, having a good time. I would probably use a phone for, I guess, to connect to the speakers, which I didn't really think of that one. But I think you have to have something to filtrate your water. Water.
A Brita filter.
Okay. Yeah, a Brita.
Okay.
There you go. A Brita.
Draven is filtering his water, listening to music.
Yeah. These are all things, by the way, I have pretty close by hand at my apartment that I would have. You know, most likely on me as well. One of the little handheld speakers that are waterproof. Those are really nice. Might even go for a little bit of a swim or something. Have the speakers playing. Treat it like, you know,
like
what,
a vacation.
Cam? Life is too short. Life is too short, my friend. Don't treat it like you're deserted on that island.
Yeah.
Treat it like it's a vacation on that island, my friend.
Okay.
You got water. Food source might be kind of tough.
Nice.
I mean, hopefully there's some coconuts or, you know, maybe maybe catch a couple fish out there, stick or something. But either way, I'm not going to worry about food because you're out there.
Nice. That's a nice segue.
You're out there to party, man. You're out there to party.
Okay.
If I didn't have to bring the phone, which I kind of, you know.
No, nope, you can't do four things.
Right.
Go ahead and segue.
I'm going to bring a fishing net for food, a knife for protection, and to work the food. And then I'm probably bringing a lighter to get some warmth because I know I can build a shelter with what's around me.
Okay.
What kind of party are you having, Ryan? What kind of fun are you going to be having?
My
be honest, Cam.
Man,
no, before
anything.
You even pick somebody, who's going to be having more fun on this deserted island? Because, by the way, there's a good chance we're both going to die. Can you catch a fish in that fishing net?
9-30 days.
You could.
You could survive.
You could die walking outside the car.
Out there with the sun just absolutely beaming on you for 30 straight days.
Then what's the other twist side of it? For that month, do you know how awesome everything's going to be when you come back? When you hear the music for the first time after
James
you've
not gonna
just
have
been
to hear it for the first time.
Let's say.
So. You guys even arguing the points? Are you guys done? Ryan reminiscing about a month vacation, how great it is to hear music. Are you done? Are you gonna argue?
Is
or
it
you
like argue against him?
Yeah, it's
you gotta argue for your three things while they're better.
Yeah.
Nah, just call it Cam. Just go ahead.
Yeah,
pick
it's
the,
gonna
pick
be
it.
Ryan. Draven, your phone's gonna die.
Is your third one not gonna be a charger? Like
your phone's gonna die.
Your speakers are gonna die too. Like you're not gonna bring a charger?
I'm just here.
There's
for a
no
good
outlet
time,
for
no
one
time.
Day.
Like, here for a good time, not a long time.
You're
John.
Gonna invent electricity on the island.
It'll hold up for a day and a half, and then the other 28 and a half days, he'll figure it out.
At least he can
with
filter his
Brita
water
filter.
Out. At least I got water.
I don't
with
know
the
if
Brita.
The Brita filter is gonna filter out like ocean water either. Like I don't think.
No, you gotta boil that.
Yeah.
You gotta boil that.
lighter.
With his lighter.
I was going to do alcohol as my other thing. And just like I said, I was honestly, my thing was, again, you're on a deserted island. There's no, you're not going to survive. You're not going to survive.
30 days.
With that attitude.
Yes.
You can survive 30 days.
With this, again, the sun just beaming down on you. That's my thing.
You could have brought like a fishing rod for food. You could have been.
Have you ever watched Survivor Brothers? Trees on the island. It's not just nothing but sand.
Is there?
I mean, I imagine there's like trees like on every deserted island. I mean, nothing's just like a little sand.
You're not just in the open.
I think it'd be more like, you know what? I'm probably gonna die anyways. Why not just have like a 3 or 4 days of my life, man? Just have some music, have some drinks.
One of your three things you didn't want to bring a woman. Like, could have brought a woman. Make some lotion. Next topic, Cam.
Next up, better shot at the Super Bowl this year, Bucks or Chiefs?
Well, I'll jump on the Tampa Bay train. So, they won it last year. They clearly know what they're doing. They proved that they're better than the Chiefs, at least in head-to-head matchups. You have the greatest of all time as your quarterback. You have one of, if not the best, wide receiver groups with multiple Pro Bowlers. You have a very stout defense that is good on the line and good in the back. And you have protection for all your players so they don't get hurt. That's the big thing I'm concerned about here. Hurt. Health. That's the thing that the Chiefs might lack on, because they have a lot of these crazy eccentric athletes that really push their bodies to the limit, including Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, that if something bad happens to any one of them, they'll be gone. But the Bucks proved last year that with a couple injuries or with some bad play, they can still make it to the final stage.
Cam, you wanna tell me the last team just in the NFC to reach back to back Super Bowls?
The Seattle Seahawks
about 6-7 years ago. So pretty hard to do. I mean, even before then, like when was the last team before then? Let's see. We had Niners, Giants, Packers, Saints, Cardinals, Giants, Bears. I mean, just really, really difficult to do. It's also very difficult to do to win back-to-back Super Bowls, to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Cam, you want to tell me the last time a team has won back-to-back Super Bowls?
It wasn't the Falcons.
John, you can chime in if you want to. And
maybe at least the Patriots.
Yeah. Patriots.
It would be the quarterback.
Be, yeah, 0-4, 0-4, 0-5, but close enough.
The quarterback.
Well,
yeah,
I got what you're saying. But
right
I, again, you know, the team that, what was that? Let's see. Let's do some math here. What was that? For, about, you know, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Close enough. That's good enough.
2021.
That's good enough.
Either way, it was a long time ago, okay? It was a long time ago. I guess like 16.
Either way.
16, 17 years ago. But either way, it's extremely difficult, Cam. It's extremely difficult. And we always talk about how the NFL, it's always difficult to win because teams are constantly getting better. They're constantly getting better all the time. Especially, I mean, man, look at the NFC. We've talked about it before. You look at what the Rams did. You look at Seattle, still somewhat of a contender. You still have, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if he ends up returning in Green Bay, you still feel like they're somewhat of a contender. Tampa Bay didn't really get a whole lot better. They added a couple of maybe draft picks, you want to say, but they're running the same team back. Kansas City, I mean, the one weakness they had on this team, they completely fixed. They got better. They completely improved. That offensive line is arguably one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. And let's be honest, like, you know, Brady is still pretty old, right? I mean, he's still coming off knee surgery. Mahomes is still healthy, young. Like, I mean, he's thriving. Like, he's still more talented than Brady, we could all admit. And, again, you saw it in the Super Bowl. What was the one weakness for that Kansas City team? It was the offensive line that completely debunked that whole entire game. And they improved it. I think the Bucks, yeah, talented roster, pretty good, but a lot of aging players. Tom Brady's aging. Antonio Brown's aging. Gronk's aging. I just don't see how you can run the same exact team back and expect to have the same results when, again, it's all about adapting. It's all about getting better. Chiefs are a better football team than they were last year, and they reached the Super Bowl last year. Like, again, and I think the AFC, probably a little bit of an easier run, especially since, you know, Kansas City has pretty much dominated every team that's challenging. Like, they've dominated the Ravens pretty much every time they played them. Dominated the Bills this past AFC Championship game. That game wasn't really close. Titans, I mean, maybe with Julio, have a little bit better of a shot, sure. But, I mean, we've seen what they did in the AFC Championship game a couple years ago as well. Like, we just know that Kansas City kind of has a hold on every single team. Like, how many teams in the AFC beat the Kansas City Chiefs this past year? The Raiders, a non-playoff team. At the end of the season with what, the Chargers, right? I mean, that were resting, Chiefs are resting players. Like, there's nobody in the AFC that has yet to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. They got completely better in the offseason, better than any other AFC team. The Chiefs, much easier road, more talented team. They're going to get back to the Super Bowl.
You got anything else to say?
Tom Brady proved that he's a winner at every single stage. Yes, he was the last one to do twice in a row. Yes, that they are aging a little bit, but that's what you need. You need the experience. You need the people who are actually able to win on that stage, which, yes, Patrick Mahomes has won on that stage, but you literally have the greatest of all time right next to you who has shown that age is not a factor, as in that he has freaking won every single step of his career. Hey, I watched it right there.
Cam, you ready to call it?
Send it. He talked too long. There's no way I'm getting that one. Like,
I mean, you good, Cam? I feel like a big missed opportunity, as Draven was pointing out, the last team to go to two Super Bowls.
That it was the quarterback.
But also, like, when's the last team that's went to three straight Super Bowls? Like, last team that went to two straight Super Bowls was the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The last 2 years.
Are you voting or is Cam?
Oh, I'm just
voting.
No, I'm saying he missed the opportunity to point. Well, yeah. You'd have to go to three Super Bowls, and that hasn't been done since the 90s, which is even 15 years longer. Yeah. I was going to give my vote for you into that little snip. I'm undecided because you were yelling at me. So I'll let Cam pick.
I was going Draven on this one. I think he had a good point about the Chiefs improving and finding their weaknesses and trying to do stuff there to get back to the Super Bowl again. So,
all right.
Last one, real quick. Yeah, only eat super spicy food or eat food with no flavor.
Well, all right. I love me some spicy food. It makes everything better. You get a flavor, you're feeling something, you're enjoying the food more. When there's no flavor, you're eating tofu. No one likes tofu. Everybody needs something else for it to spice it up to make it good. And spicy sauce does make it good. It's been one of the popular sauces you see in everybody's fridge. It'll make you feel something. It'll make you taste something. And when it makes you feel and taste something, it's a more memorable experience when you're eating the food, which is a very slept on fact about eating food. You want to remember it. You want to experience the food. But you can't do that if there's nothing to even taste or even consider. It makes food more exciting. It makes food taste better. And, oh my gosh, wouldn't you like to taste something instead of nothing?
Cam, we're pretty much saying that we're going to be eating, spicy food or food with no flavor forever, right? Like, this is pretty much forever for the rest of time. Could you guys imagine eating something spicy every day? It would become no flavor to you, Ryan. You know why? Because you'd get sick of it. You would literally have that taste every single time, and it would just become your normal. It would become your no flavor.
You're not sick of no flavor?
I would rather have no flavor than eating spicy stuff all the time, because also, a lot of people don't like spicy stuff. A lot of people can't handle spicy stuff. Also, I think something with no flavor be a little bit better on the tummy than something with spice all the time, constantly eating spicy stuff. And again, my bigger point is, you would get so sick of it. So why get sick of something that has spice when you could just go with no flavor? No flavor's fine. I mean, it's neutral. We like water. Does water have flavor, John?
No.
And last time I checked, it didn't. Because, it's...
put a little lemon in there, though. But
oh, yeah, do you?
just from time to time.
All the different bottles from time to time. Taste right. A little different.
But again, spicy would not become spicy. It would just become bland to you. And I would rather have no flavor than make some at least decent flavor go bland to me, because you're literally eating it all the time.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Super spicy. If it's all the way super spicy and you don't like it, and if you eat it every day, it's not going to be spicy anymore. But you'll still be having a flavor of something. And that,
I don't know, man.
Yes, you will literally be tasting something, because all the negative effects of spiciness would go down.
I think at that point you'd rather just be like, man, just
and then you would
no
taste something.
For the love of God, I'd rather taste nothing at that point. So sick of the spice every day, every day.
Nothing.
I gotta go, Draven here.
Hey,
I gotta go, Draven here.
You, Draven.
I think he had a good point about eating the same thing all the time does make it Basically, like
you're. I think this. If you did eat spicy every day, you would eventually just get numb to it. I think that is probably true. So it would eventually become.
And I think the stomach point was a good point about
I can't do spicy at all. So I was.
A lot of people can't do spicy.
Yeah, I get.
Anybody in here spicy fan?
I like spicy.
I'm not gonna lie.
I can't do any spicy. I think your stomach would be in shambles.
Yeah.
Breaking news: Naomi Osaka just pulled out of Wimbledon as well. So she is.
Play again.
That was a good one, Draven. That was good.
Good job by you guys.
Competitive.
Let's go to break. We'll come back with Last Call. Last Call is brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, give them a call, 865-558-8030, or visit them online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Only got time for one story, Cam. What is it?
I got guy does this after somebody wakes him up from a nap.
Is it score 39 points and have 7 assists on the road against three All-NBA players?
No, but that's a good guess.
Defensive players?
I'm pretty sure Trey did have a nap before that. He's well-rested looking like. But no, this attorney general in Utah had to apologize after he basically told a council member, kindly die and go to hell, in an explicit laden email claiming that the legislator disturbed his nap on Saturday. Darren Mano is the guy that was shocked and disturbed to read the prosecutor's angry email when he returned home Saturday night after knocking on the doors for his city council campaign. So I guess the guy was going around campaigning and knocking on doors. I guess it woke up this guy from his nap.
I mean,
I got some words from the email. He said, "I will do everything in my power to see you will never get elected into any office higher than dog catcher. I hate you. I hate your family. I hate the people that work for you. I hate your contributors. I hate your sponsors. Kindly die and go to hell, mother beep."
Good censor.
Mm-hmm. So, and he basically apologized. He said, "Last Saturday, I was awakened from a nap and reacted with undue anger based solely on the interruption to my tranquility. Since then, I have regretted the ferocity and language of that email. My words were uncivil and unprofessional. For me personally, I'd like to apologize to Salt Lake City Councilman Darren Mano and his family. I never wish harm to Mr. Mano, his family, or anyone associated with him. No parent, spouse, or child should be subjected to such emotional outbursts. I am deeply sorry." Yeah, he was not happy he got woken up from a nap, it seems like. Wow.
It is the worst whenever you're napping and someone comes and knocks on your door.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't happen.
Wake
much.
Up a little angry, a little.
Yeah, I just hate when anybody comes to my door anyways and the dog starts barking.
Yeah,
ring the doorbell, and you're just like, oh, you got to get up. Especially if they can see you. You don't want to just sit there and look. It's worse when you like check and they see you check. Then you got to open it. And, sorry, I don't want to talk about it now. There's a brief moment in time where you're thinking, are they going to try to kill me? I'm going to have to fight this guy. Is he trying to rob me? Who knows? Who knows? The Drive's up next, live from Jets Pizza out in Farragut. Go by, see him. Stay locked in right here on Fan Run Radio.